So there are there are some special applications of this. The VA certainly is a medical system that's somewhat different than our standard systems in medical practice. And we've asked Dr. Kamala Tani to speak on the VA as a model for regionalizing surgical oncology care. Dr. Atani is a professor of surgery and the chief of surgery right here in Boston at the Boston VA Medical Center. Dr. Atani.
Thank you, Dr. Sticca, Dr. Masarwe, for including me in this panel. The VA is a very interesting story. And the way it came to implement regionalization is very interesting.
Sorry, I forgot. Let me get this up. There you go.
So I have no disclosures except that I work at a VA. And want to give you a little bit of a background. The VA is the largest healthcare system in the United States. We have 137 surgery programs within the VA, and 111 of those are inpatients, and another 26 are standalone ambulatory surgery centers. In fiscal year 17, we performed close to 419,000 surgical procedures. And look at this classification, which I would come to a little bit later. 83% of those procedures were standard procedures, 15% were intermediate, and 2% were complex procedures. It all started with a story in Marion, Illinois. It looks like, you know, every few years we have some kind of a tragic story and within the VA, and this was a problematic one that occurred around 2007. If you would recall, there were some post-operative death, unusual death that occurred in that hospital. And that prompted the Office of the Medical Inspector to go to Marion, Illinois, and look closely at what was happening there. And what they found at that time is that there was no appropriate infrastructure to support expansion of surgical services within that hospital. They were doing more and more complex procedures without the supporting infrastructure. They had concerns about the operating rooms, the recovery rooms. They had concerns about the coordination of care and the availability of specialists after hours and on weekends. There was no organizational preparedness within that hospital for the new complex procedures that were being performed. And when concerns were brought by employees about to the leadership of that hospital, they were completely dismissed. So the medical inspector at that time said that the VA should take appropriate actions to ensure that there is adequate infrastructures within each medical center to support the actual surgeries that were being performed within that medical center, and in order to provide the continuity and coordination of care within each one of those hospitals, and of course to provide specialty support after hours and on weekends. So not all surgical procedures are alike, and they vary in complexity. And we wanted to assure that within the VA system, we provided the safest possible patient care. And at that point, one of the very important purposes of the Office of the Medical Inspector report is that it is absolutely necessary to match the skills of the surgeon with the complexity of the procedure and the extent of the facility infrastructure for perioperative support. So Dr. Wong touched a little bit on this. She focused on the volume of the surgeon, but you also have to match it with whatever complexity the procedure is and the infrastructure available within the hospital. So a work group was put together within the VA hospital in 2007, 2008, and they came up with recommendations that were implemented within the VA system. The first thing they did is they divided the facilities among within the VA into standard, intermediate, and complex. And they recommended what the infrastructure within each one of those facilities should be. So there are approximately 125 recommendations that each one of those medical centers had to follow. And actually, you know, when I go back home tomorrow, I would have to certify that I meet the complexity infrastructure within my own facility. And this is, for example, you can take, let's say, cardiac cath or invasive cardiology. There is no requirement for invasive cardiology within a standard facility. For an intermediate facility, you can have a contract with a nearby hospital to send your patients with acute cardiac event, but you have to be able to address it within 60 minutes of diagnosing the acute cardiac event. For complex facility, you have to have the invasive cardiology in place, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and for the patients to be addressed within 60 minutes. And I can guarantee you that we follow those rules to the letter. Otherwise, we are going to have the Inspector General over our shoulders. So this is what this task force or work group addressed. They addressed the pre- and post-operative diagnostic management of the patient. They addressed the pre-operative risk assessment and how it is conducted. Post-operative consultations from nephrology to cardiology to all the different areas. They address the operating room facilities and, you know, the kind of instruments that you have to have in place in order to be able to do certain procedures within each one of the complexities. They address the recovery area, the intensive care unit, the wards, what should be available on the wards, pulse oximetry, cardiac monitoring, and others, as well as critical support services from hospitalists to call, to who should be on call, when should they be on call. All of this is addressed into the infrastructure matrix. Now, what they did also is they looked at all the CPT codes within all the specialties, and they had experts within each one of the fields, and they divided the CPT codes into complex, intermediate, and standard. So complex CPT codes procedures can only be performed in complex facilities, and intermediate CPT codes can be performed in complex or intermediate facilities, and standard CPT codes can be performed across the board through any of the facilities. So this is what happened. We have now within the VA half of the facilities labeled as complex, and they perform the majority of the procedures. You have 30 intermediate facilities, and they perform only intermediate and standard procedures. And you have 11 standard procedures that perform only standard procedures. And then you have advanced ambulatory centers and basic ambulatory centers, and we're also very prescriptive about what can be done in a basic versus advanced ambulatory care centers. Now, you can see here that, for example, in an intermediate facility, among the intermediate facilities, 32 procedures were done that were complex. And the chief of surgeries within those facilities had to report back to Washington and say why they did those complex procedures in intermediate facilities. Now, it's very interesting to look at what happens in terms of mortality and morbidity when you divide the care among those facilities. And you can see here, I think, you know, it projects better on the screen, but, you know, the complex facilities have the highest mortality and highest morbidity in terms of complex, intermediate, and standard procedure. So if you look at the intermediate cases in the upper table, you can see that the mortality for intermediate procedure in a complex facility is 1.1%. For an intermediate facility, it is 0.9%. And for a standard facility, it is 0.42%. So a complex facility with all the resources is still having a higher mortality. Why? It is because of the sort of natural regionalization that has happened, and all those intermediate and standard facilities sending most of their difficult or comorbid cases to complex facility where the infrastructure is available. And that's true for both mortality and morbidity. And what happens to access of care? And this is now our access of care. This is 2017. And you can see that on average, 73% of the cases are done throughout, you know, the VA system within 30 days of a diagnosis being done. So that's not bad. And, you know, another 18% are done between 30 and 60 days. And usually this is because of a patient's preference and the way they want to be scheduled for their surgery and the arrangement they would like to make. Now, if you look at our VA Boston here in Boston, we have three campuses. We have the West Roxbury campus, which is a complex facility. We have the Jamaica Plain campus, which is an advanced ambulatory center. And we have Brockton, which is a very large campus, but we only have clinics in that campus. Now, 40% of all our surgical cases come from Maine, from Vermont, and from New Hampshire. And most of them come to West Roxbury. So we're doing at West Roxbury major cancer cases that come from all these various states. We're a regional center for bariatric surgery. We're a regional center for cardiac and TAVR, for complex neurosurgical cases and major endovascular cases. So all of those cases come to us at VA Boston. We also, you know, if you look at the distances, they're quite significant. I mean, to come from VA Maine to VA Boston, it's 181 miles. From Vermont to Boston, it's 140 miles. And from New Hampshire VA to VA Boston, it is 70 miles. So the distances are not insignificant. Now, then there was Phoenix, another story within the VA, occurred around 2011, 2012, and it was mostly an issue of access to care and patients not getting access to clinics in a timely manner. So what the VA ended up instituting is the CHOICE program or community care, and what they said is if there are no specialists available, you can send the patient to the community. If you have extended wait times, greater than 30 days to get an appointment in a clinic or to the operating room, then, you know, you can go to the community. And if you live more than 40 miles away from a VA hospital, then you can get your care in the community. So this is what happened in 2015, and you can see that the VA system ended up sending a large number of digestive issues of eye care, musculoskeletal system, mostly joint replacement. They ended up sending them to the community in the tens of millions of dollars. And if you look at who are those facilities that are sending the care to the outside, it is mostly the rural hospitals. So for a complex inpatient facility, only 13 or 14% of the cases are going to the community. For advanced ambulatory care center, it's about 21%. And if you look at an urban versus rural VA, 18% of the cases are going to the community from an urban VA as compared to 44% from a rural VA. So you can see that regionalization occurred as a de facto system within the VA system. And this is what happened between 2014 and 2016. You know, 80% of the care was provided within the VA, and about 20% went to community care. So what this also helped in doing is in creating centers of excellence in different programs. You know, you have the bariatric program, you have the TAVR program, and this is an example on hepatopancreatobiliary surgery that was done at the Houston VA, and it led to regionalization of care and literally an improved quality of care in cancer and surgical outcome for the whole regions around Houston. And there is no doubt that the establishment of regional programs within the VA can help improve the quality of patients presenting with complex cancers requiring subspecialized care. Now, you have to also keep in mind that there are patients' preferences, and this is a study that was done at the Vermont VA, and Dr. Finlayson at that time showed that many patients and actually prefer to undergo surgery locally, even when travel to a regional center would result in lower operative risk. Therefore, policymakers should consider patient preferences when assessing the expected value of regionalizing major surgery. So the conclusion from our study on community care is that the implementation did increase the veterans' use of community care relative to VA for certain types of surgery, mostly digestive, eye care, and orthopedics. But the VA does remain a safety net primary provider of surgical care. And if patients end up going to the community, it's because either the specialty is not available within the VA or because there is not enough access within the VA. But what we're dealing with now is the challenge of coordination of the care of veterans between the community and the VA, because patients might undergo their surgery outside the VA but might need their neoadjuvant therapy within the VA, so we have to be able to coordinate that kind of care. So in summary, the VA is an important source of surgical care. It did undergo successful regionalization. It wasn't planned. It happened de facto. But what is very important is that it was not driven by economic purposes. And the only thing that drove that regionalization is patient safety and quality of care. And it led to the creation of programs of excellence within the VA. It did respect patient choice. If, you know, it's not available within the VA, they can get it within the community. And we have to really account for infrastructure. Rural and low-complexity facilities are more likely to purchase care from the community, and that could be a drain on their own budget. Thank you, and I guess I'll take the questions at the end.